headlines this hour. Afghan president says US security firms and Taliban are behind bomb attacks in his country. NATO strikes Muslim place of worship in Afghanistan, claiming dozens of civilian lives. And France's pension strikes come with price tag of up to 400 million euros a day. Hello everyone, you're watching the news here on Press TV. Gaps in ties between Kabul and Washington are getting wider as Afghan President Hamid Karzai accuses US security firms of fomenting violence in his country.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has accused the private companies of corruption and fueling terrorism in Afghanistan.
It's a $1.5 billion deal, or maybe even more. Under the name of private security firms, the money is distributed in US government hallways. The money is distributed in Washington among firms like Blackwater, but this money doesn't benefit the people of Afghanistan. They spend the money on homicide in Afghanistan. This money causes the killing of Afghan children, brings bombs and terrorism. In fact, we don't know how many of the terrorist blasts are launched by the Taliban and how many by these foreign security firms.
I defended his decision to dissolve foreign security firms by the end of this year and said it is in the interests of his country. He said he's been under pressure from the US and its allies to change his mind about the issue. Karzai described his decision to disband foreign security firms as an attempt to protect his people.
Today, the people of Afghanistan are being killed, insulted and tortured by foreign security firms. They are being bombed under the pretext of war against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Karzai also called on the international community to help boost the Afghan government. Asked about receiving cash payments from Tehran, Karzai said the payments are contributions to assist Kabul.
This is nothing hidden. We are grateful for the Iranian help in this regard. The United States is doing the same thing. They are providing cash to some of our offices. If you'd like to have the details, we'll give you that too.
And the U.S. government
doesn't give you bags. It does give bags of money, yes. Yes, it does. Ma'am, it's all the same. So let's not make this an issue. It's a relationship between neighbors, and it will go on. And we will continue to ask for cash help from Iran.
Tajikistan's president has met with the Afghan president and reaffirmed his country's support for the efforts to bring peace and stability to the war-torn country. The Afghan president has stressed his commitment to ban private security companies in the country. Amin Alami reports.
Two neighbors with historical, religious and linguistic commonalities hope to open up a new chapter in bilateral relations. At a press conference in Kabul, Tajik President Imam Ali Rahman and his Afghan counterparts pledged to boost ties in all fields and take every effort to make the region and their countries safer places. Mr. Rahman told reporters that the presence of foreign forces has not brought Afghanistan peace and security, and that only through regional cooperation and good governance, Afghans can rid themselves of militancy.
It's clear that no country can solve the problem of Afghanistan through military means. We support the Afghan government efforts to bring stability to the country.
According to experts, regional cooperation is the only option to solve Afghanistan's crisis.
3 decades of war in Afghanistan show that Afghanistan's crisis can be solved only through regional cooperation that can bring peace and security to the country.
The Iranian help in this regard.
During this conference, Mr. Karzai admitted that his office has received cash from Iran, but insisted it was part of a transparent process used to help run the president's office and that many countries had given money to Afghanistan in this way, including the U.S. He was responding to a report in the New York Times that Tehran had been passing bags full of cash to Mr. Karzai's aides. Karzai further said that he was grateful to Iran for such helps and that this was something he had also discussed with former U.S. President George Bush at Camp David.
Afghanistan is a is a country that knows its business well. And we are grateful to Iran for the help that they are giving and those is receiving that help under my instructions.
Mr. Karzai also called on the foreigners to stop threatening his administration on the issues of security firms, saying it is not the way they should deal with Afghans.
Afghanistan.
These private security companies have been involved in breaching security and violating human rights.
Despite the presence of more than 150,000 US-led forces and tens of thousands of people employed by private security firms, security situation in the country has been deteriorating, with 2010 the deadliest year for the foreign troops since 2001.
Experts say, as after years of US-led invasion of Afghanistan, security is still a remote dream for people here. Officials in Kabul are scrambling to reach out to regional countries in their bid to find a shared strategy to contain militancy and violence. For Press TV, Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Well, another airstrike by US-led NATO forces has resulted in deaths of dozens of Afghan civilians. Afghan officials say NATO raid targeted a mosque in Bagram district. At least 25 people have reportedly been killed in the airstrike in southern Helmand province. The head of the provincial council says the casualty figures could rise. NATO officials have confirmed the airstrike but deny any civilian deaths. The attack comes a day after US-led military operation killed four civilians, including an Afghan child, in the central province of Wardak. A large number of civilians have been killed since the US-led invasion and occupation of country in 2001. To tell us more, we're joined from Kabul by Press TV's Faiz Khorshid. Faiz, over to you.
Well, this is the latest in a series of civilian deaths caused by the US-led air operations in Afghanistan. And this is not the first time that civilians have been killed by the U.S. operations in this country. Such incidents took place in the past too. And today, the Afghan government has told us that they are going to launch a joint investigation with the American forces into the latest deaths. And the President Hamid Karzai's office has told us that once they fully investigate these latest deaths, they would hold meetings with the top U.S. commander here in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, who is the commander of all foreign troops in Afghanistan, and they would certainly call on him to avoid civilian deaths and restrict the use of their air operations in residential areas. But I don't think that such calls would force the foreign troops on the ground to avoid civilian deaths, because the Afghanistan officials held such talks in the past too. But we see the civilian deaths by the foreign and U.S.-led operations here in Afghanistan continue to rise.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time being. Many thanks to Press TV's Faiz Khorshid reporting from Kabul there. Now, in France, the government is warning that the ongoing strikes against pension reforms threaten the country's economic recovery. The French finance minister says the strikes cost the country up to 400 million euros a day. Senate has already approved President Nicolas Sarkozy's controversial pension bill. It now needs approval from France's Constitutional Council. Despite this, trade unions remain defiant and have called more strikes and rallies. But in a sign of easing tensions, workers at three of France's refineries have voted to return to work. Meanwhile, the strike is also threatening health and sanitation in Marseille, as a rubbish collection strike continues there. 10,000 tons of garbage is lying uncollected across the city. I'm joined on the phone from New York by Ian Williams. He's with the Foreign Policy and Focus. Welcome to the program, sir. The French government is warning of terrible economic consequences if the strikes go on. Why won't the government listen to the people then, if it believes in democracy and the fact that the government should be for the people?
Well, it's a very interesting question, which I think Sarkozy will answer to his cost in when it comes to the presidential elections. He's already made himself the most unpopular president since polls began in France. And it's that the fact that these reforms are unpopular, that most of the people don't want them in the form that they are, that is really fueling the strikes and popular support for them. The polls seem to indicate that people might be prepared to consider a change in the pension age if the sacrifices were evenly shared. But the rest of the package that Sarkozy is proposing does not benefit most of the people. The sacrifices are loaded onto working people. And, of course, unemployment, especially amongst young people, has been a major and consistent problem in France. And one of the reasons why the younger people are joining in so vigorously about an event that's 40 years in their future is they're aware that if older people stay on working longer, then there are fewer jobs for younger people, unless the government is really engaged in aggressive job creation. And it doesn't seem to be so far.
Some say that the public support for the unions on strike is beyond the anger over the pension reforms. What are the other factors that contribute to this situation?
Well, the government is also working on a new tax reform, which seems on the face of it to many people to be designed to benefit richer people. It involves abolishing or reducing the wealth tax that is that French people pay. And the idea here is that it will boost productivity. But France apparently has the third largest number of millionaires in the world, so the rich are doing quite well without being crippled by the tax. And if they're going to invest, they should invest anyway, regardless.
Well, the unions have vowed to continue their opposition to the pension bill. Just how can these public protests change the whole of the political spectrum in France?
Well, I think that's when the unions really have to make some hard decisions, because the mood of the public on the poll seems to be that it's protesting before the vote, making their point known, is sort of legitimate. But if they were to carry on afterwards, after the parliament had voted, the two houses, then that would become sort of subversive of the constitution. So that they might well want to consider a change in tactics if and when the vote is passed this week.
And just final question, how long do you think these protesters can hold out in their strikes?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that they will, after the vote is taken this week, they're in grave danger of losing public support. There's always a danger when strikes affect the public more than they affect the government. You know, if it were tax collectors went out on strike, then there'd be popular support. But the ordinary citizens of Marseille do not want heaps of rotting garbage on the quayside, and ordinary French drivers do not want to be lined up outside petrol stations waiting for fuel. So there comes a point when you're affecting the people whose support you want, and that's where it's going to take some adroit tactics on the part of the unions and the others over the next week or so.
All right, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus from New York. And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Afghan president says U.S. security firms and Taliban are behind bomb attacks in his country. NATO strikes Muslim place of worship in Afghanistan, claiming dozens of civilian lives. And France's pension strikes come with price tag of up to 400 million euros a day.